This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You have reached the edge of the world.
Welcome back to Dreamland. I'm your monthly guest host, Kelly Chase. Whitley will be back at the helm next week. I have a truly fascinating guest for you today, author and experiencer Tom Matt. Tom has a very unusual psi ability that he calls upsight, which manifests as a holographic overlay in his perception, which allows him to do some pretty remarkable things. It can be a little complicated to explain, so I'll let Tom explain what it is, how it works, and how he came to have this ability in his own words. He'll also share with you the surprising results of a study he did at the Institute of Noetic Sciences under legendary psi researcher and chief scientist Dr. Dean Radin that lends real credibility to the fantastical psi phenomena that he describes. Tom is someone that I met seemingly at random early on in my journey in this field, and his story has become tied to mine in some pretty profound and unexpected ways. I've talked about that part of the story in depth in my Through the Looking Glass series on my podcast, The UFO Rabbit Hole. I'll have that linked up in the episode description so you can check it out if you're interested. Those episodes tell my side of the story, and in today's interview, Tom is going to tell his. But before we begin, I just wanted to take a quick moment to share that the docuseries that I wrote and executive produced alongside director J. Christopher King was released on December 30th. The show is called Cosmosis, UFOs and a New Reality, and it features experts in the field, many of whom I've interviewed on Dreamland, including Whitley Strieber, Jeffrey Kripal, Diana Walsh-Wasulka, James Madden, Michael Masters, Ia Whiteley, Mario Woods, Daniel Elizondo, James Iandoli, and many more. Cosmosis is currently out on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Fandango at Home, Vimeo, YouTube, and Google Play. To find links to platforms, head over to watchcosmosis.com. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Tom Matt. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Dreamland. It's so great to have you here.
Yeah, Kelly, I'm excited to be on the show today.
Well, I've been really looking forward. I feel like this interview has been years in the making between you and I, and I'm so excited to dive in. We don't have a ton of time today, so I want to just dive into it because your story is long and complicated and fascinating, and I want to get to as much of it as possible. So let's start with, you have a really unique psi ability. Can you tell us what that is and what it, like how it works for you?
Sure, I can. And I call this ability that I have, I call it upsight vision, right? And upsight vision is the ability to see and interact with holographic images that are everywhere around me, around us, I say. And not only can I see them and I can interact with them, sometimes they're coming from me, sometimes I pick them up like I'm picking up a radio station. And let me tell you that what they're not, because it's every time I say this, people are like, that's an imagination. It is different than an imagination in that these holographic images are outside of me and I pick them up, as I said. So if you think of a mind's eye, right, my background is in advertising and marketing, and I made my business, you know, laying out a poster or an ad campaign, and I would think in my mind's eye, okay, would that go here? Maybe this would go there. This is not that, right? I cannot drive a car, do upside vision. If you want, Kelly, if you and I were sitting in the car and I was driving and you said, hey, do you remember that Jaws poster from the 70s? And I could drive the car and I could picture the poster in my mind. I could see the shark. I could see the lady swimming. I could see everything because that's a very vivid mind's eye. Now, if you say, Tom, look, can you recreate or manifest that image with upside vision? There's no way I could drive the car, right? I have to literally stop, you know, driving or shift my attention. I focus. And this image, or as close to it as will be, will manifest in front of me. Now, what's really interesting about this is that typically they're one color, almost like a clear mezzotint, and they're always moving. There's nothing ever static. Now, there's two examples I give when I talk about this. One of them, most people have seen it if they still can't get a hold of what it is. There's a movie called The Queen's Gambit on Netflix about 5 years ago. The protagonist would lay in the bed. She'd look at the ceiling and she'd see the chess pieces. They were kind of smoky and she can move them because she was a chess player and she can move them in her mind and think about the moves ahead. It looks like that. Another thing that people I use is the example of Tony Stark in the movie Iron Man, when he's in his office, there are scenes where he's surrounded by these holographic images and he can move them and swipe them. I can't obviously do, maybe it's not obvious. I can't do that. Now I can move them, but I can't, you know, move my hand and swipe them. So that's kind of what they look like. It's a single tint. They're not full color, right? They're not these full color images when you think of it. I can interact them, share them with a thought, interact them with a thought. Sometimes they're helpful. Sometimes they're nonsense. Sometimes they're trickster. Sometimes they're clear and completely clear. Like, let me give you an example on the clarity, because this in the very beginning was very confusing. I could see, let's see, the circulatory system of a body or what looked like it would be, right? But I wouldn't know if that's what it was because it would not stay and I could not hold it long enough. It looks exactly like what you think something is, but for holding these images for any length of time, and I'll define length of time in this instance for 30 seconds to a minute, is difficult. They just move. They constantly move. So that's what it is. Sometimes they're knowledgeable. And I'll say one other thing. The place I'm accessing, I wrote a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness, right? And it's about my, it's about how I acquired this gift. We'll get into that. We'll get into that in a minute. But the place I access, I call it in the book Schizopedia, because it was a little schizophrenic, right? Not helpful, lies, but it was also this Wikipedia type intelligence too. There was something that was there, but I couldn't, it took a minute to get the nuance to discern which was which. Since then, I've called it the organic metaverse. Since then, it's like maybe it's Akashic Record, maybe it's the Higgs field, maybe it's the noosphere, maybe it's the Book of Life, maybe it's this hidden biosphere. There are so many things that it might be, that I've said it might be. Slowly I've come to the conclusion that maybe there's this hidden biosphere. Not maybe, there's definitely a hidden biosphere or hidden biosphere that humans can't see. And there's also this place that holds this Akashic Record. They're not the same thing. They seem to be the same thing. At least for me, they're not the same thing. Now, where one stops and the other one starts, or one starts, the other one stops, that's a little bit more difficult to figure out. But that's kind of what I've been doing. And I've been doing this for 12 years. And it's a psi ability. There's lucid dreaming elements. There's telepathy elements. There's remote viewing elements. There's astral projection elements. There's so many elements of this that I am not as good at. These people that are expert in these psi abilities. But what I am good at, and what is extraordinary, what I have been tested on, is the ability to see these holographic images. It's like I'm picking up a radio station that's broadcasting holographic images. And I can, you know, once I'm tuned in, I can have a conversation.
It's so fascinating. And I feel like, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a few years. And I still, when you're talking about it, I find new things in what you're saying that I'm just like, what? it's just so strange and fantastical, like what you're saying. And can you explain a little bit more about what it's like in your day-to-day life? Like, if you're just going about your average day, how does UpSight kind of manifest for you in just an average day?
Yeah, great question. And let me tell the audience, many people probably know what this word is, but when I was researching the brain, and by the way, I had two MRIs, because when something like this happens to you, you're like, oh my God, there's something pressing on a part of my temple. And it's horrible, and something bad's going to happen. I have this gift, but it's got a curse. There's no damage from any kind of stroke, lesion, damage from drug use. There's nothing wrong with my brain. There's nothing implants in there or anything like that. I can just do this. So that's important, number one. Number two, I looked up the word Umwelt, right? Or I came across the word Umwelt. That is the way a biological organism moves through their environment, right? You and I, humans, share Earth. Same environment with bats. We share Earth with cats. We share with mosquitoes, all these other living creatures. Even though we're sharing this same Earth with them, the way we navigate this planet is not the same thing, right? Bats see, or they use sonar, right? Whatever happened, I'm still convinced of this, that my Umwelt, the way I navigated Earth, has evolved. What I saw before, I see more of what is there. Now, as far as interfering or getting in the way of my daily activity, it does not. I have to shift my attention to it. So unless I sit there and say, oh, what's happening over here, it will not interfere with me. Now, when I, in the beginning, when I would go to bed, right, I would lay a damn bed and I'd be like, there would be some image, right? Some image would always be there. I was like, okay, you know what, Tom, just literally manifest or think about a stream laying next to a brook or a river or an ocean. And that's what you look at as you're going to bed. So that was like, it was also a good meditation tool. So as far as interfering with my daily activity, nothing. As far as helping me navigate the world and information I'm getting and how can this help me? Because my wife is like, this is the greatest. I mean, everyone thinks this, how can you use this to get ahead in the world because it's so extraordinary? Now, obviously, there's a creative element that I can see these things, which I always had. We'll get to this, definitely get to this in a minute. I think this is about communication. I think this is ultimately about nonverbal communication. And if you've been watching the telepathy tapes, you know these children with autism are doing this with their parents. I know I'm communicating with something. What this non-human intelligence is we can talk about that too. So there's a communication element to it, but there's also a download information. Like I'm getting information that's useful for me. And like in the long term, let me give you an example. We won't go into this too much, but there is this, and I'm not a mathematician, right? I became obsessed with math when I came out of this crisis. We'll talk about in a minute. And I started doing a bunch of research on math, but I built this Google Earth for math or whatever you want to, Cartesian coordinate system on steroids. I built this in my head and I've got this whole thing together. So that for me is something I'm going to be doing. And again, I've been saying this on podcasts for the last 2 years, but I am going to be doing it. It's just hard to build, right? I mean, this is like a multidimensional fluid system that is not simple to construct. So even if it's difficult for me trying to tell somebody else how to build it is itself going to be a challenge, but it's something that can certainly be done. So there's a lot there. Sometimes non-human intelligence come in and there's an exchange of information. Here, let me pause here. Let me finish with this and then we can go. You know, people call themselves star seeds, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen that are star seeds on that. I don't feel like that's what's happening to me, right? I'm not given privileged information. Nobody's saying this is your background, this is where you are, this is where we're from. If anything, the privilege is like, okay, look here and maybe we're going to help you figure this out, right? Maybe we can point like, look over there. That's the best I get from this. And it's a lot. I shouldn't say that's the best I get. That's significant. But as far as literally answering questions, it's not that I don't get that kind of information. And again, you can see non-human intelligence things there. Anyway, I went on for a minute there, but did I answer your question?
No, that was great. That was great. Speaking of the non-human intelligence angle, can you talk about what that looks like? Is it like mostly grays that you're seeing? Do you ever see any other kinds of beings? Like how does that manifest?
So the first, this is going back a dozen years. And I didn't know I was remote viewing and astral projecting. I just thought I was looking at these things, these holographic images. I didn't know where they're coming from. And I still don't. Let's be clear. I have no idea where these holographic images are originating. Okay. That's really important for this conversation. I know once I'm involved, I assume they're originating locally from my response, right? So I could just say, imagine you're a drone flying through the sky and then go out in the stars and stuff like this. So I would just do that day in and day out. I stumble on this ship. I can't remember what the outside of the ship looks like. I'm inside of this ship. I don't know where it was. And this is one of the most wild remote viewing astral projection experiences I ever had. In the beginning, this happened, which I think is important. There were a dozen gray aliens, right? They were standing in a circle around this, what looked like a clear sphere table, right? It looked like it was empty. And I'm watching them and I'm like, what are they doing? It was so weird. Why would they be standing around this empty table? As I got closer, I realized that the table wasn't empty. There was a holographic town. It's a city, a town, and the grays, and there were people walking around, and the gray's eyes, every gray had a certain part of this circle. They had a 360 view, and they had a certain amount of coverage, and when the person would go from one gray's eye to the other one would pick it up. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, I'm sitting there, I'm like, are they remote viewing something else. And as this happened, two of the grays turned to look at me, right? They see me looking at them, and they came towards me just like curiously, and I jumped out. I mean, I was shocked. Again, I had no idea what remote viewing was. I had no idea what remote astral projection was. I had no idea once they see you, once you see them, they can see you. The eye contact is kind of a big deal. So, Olaf Rockner is a Swedish artist. He has a great illustration. If you go to my Twitter feed, you can find it on there. If you go to my Instagram page, or if you go to any of, actually go to my YouTube channel, Upside Vision Tom Matt, you can see this image there. And so the grays were there a lot from the beginning. Were they helpful? No, not even a little bit. In fact, they were nuisances, literally nuisances. I would be working on something, literally trying to figure out a math problem, right? I'd be like, okay, what's this? And a gray would just show up and just like, it's like push you, shove you. And you're like, just to get your attention. And I still can't actually for the life of me figure out what they were trying to do. That just seems so like a waste of time for them. I don't know it wasn't like I was onto some great mathematical, I wasn't trying to solve the Riemann hypothesis. I was just doing some homework or whatever. It was very strange. And they know our culture. I've been flipped off by grays. And I think when that happened the first time, it was the most amusing thing that ever happened. I kid you not. And then I've had one good experience. I talk about that on a YouTube. I did a YouTube, 25-minute YouTube video. I talk about that one really good, positive gray experience. But grays, mantises, never, ever, ever have I seen a Paul White. Mm. That fascinates me because I can't bring them up. I've never seen a tall white. That intrigues me. I don't know why. So any traditional and some non-traditional, non-human intelligence, I've seen most of them. Now, again, there's no conversation going on. I'm going to be honest. This is like you see them. I liken it to walking into the Amazon jungle, right? You walk into the Amazon jungle because I can do this, whatever this is, other beings are in this field or in this space. So you're in there. It's not your space. You're a visitor. Now, these beings, maybe they're there. Maybe they're visiting too, but there's hundreds of life forms there. Some of them will ignore you. Some of them may be curious about you. Some of them are indifferent. But the ones that do, like once you make eye contact, something, there's like curiosity or boredom or whatever. So that's the kind of intelligence that I see in these spaces, right? Some of them are scary. And if you jump out, you can stop it. It's not like a possession or anything like that. So you can jump in and out. That said, what's the thing where the hitchhiker effect? I feel like I understand the hitchhiker effect, right? Same as if a kid goes into the woods and he catches a salamander because he catches it and it brings it home. This is the opposite. This is if this being sees you and is interested in you and they know you can see it, it can follow you home and mess with you, right? Kind of an inverse of that. So yeah, a lot of different things I've seen.
Something I'd love to ask you about real fast is, You've talked to me before about how you saw with Upsight kind of the anatomy of grays, that you feel like you understand something about their anatomy. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen?
So, yeah. All right. So that's good because I saw a very specific thing. Now, here's the thing about Upsight too. Again, I said it, I touched on it about the trickster element. It could show me something that's graphic and perfectly defined and everything like that, but it's not true. Right. So from what I see, half organic or partially organic and partially silicon or whatever you want to call it, man-made or some other thing. Now, the thing I saw was nanotech. It was like a nanotech gray and with organic matter. Now, I don't know if that's true. Right. I don't feel like that may be the case. And here's why, because sometimes when I see them, it's a different inside, right? It's not like, it's not the same inside I saw before. Again, think about those old school robotic with the wires and stuff like that. So there's kind of like that kind of any kind of like the old Alien movie, where the guy was organic and he's the original robot from the Aliens movie, kind of like that. I don't know if it's true. I know that Upsight shows me metaphors, right? I know it'll show me like one of the funniest ones at the beginning of like, how do I get this done? And there was a picture of an elbow in an oil, right? And it was grubbing like that. And I was like, wait, elbow grease? I need to do more work? I mean, that was the answer. I'm like, wait, this thing has a sense of humor. There's something about this that, you know, it's like, this is what it's going to take. And there's many, many instances of things like that.
That's fascinating.
I don't know if it's true, but that's what I see.
That's fascinating. Part of the reason I asked that is Whitley has a new book that's just out called The Fourth Mind, where he actually talks about, you know, what he knows about grays, including their anatomy. So I just think it'd be interesting if you want to read that at some point and just like kind of compare his.
Yeah, I would be very curious to read that because my experiences are not like his at all. They're not like most people's. Again, I've never been in a, well, that's again, there was one time I may have been in a room with a gray, but I was asleep. You know, that's the, and I woke up and my head is 6 inches above my bed and I woke up and my head fell back into the pillow. And I'm like, wait, did that really happen? It was one of those lucid dreaming / coming out of something. That was a while back too.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'd love to talk to you after you get a chance to read Whitley's book, because I think that will be really interesting.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Hi everyone. This is Kelly Chase. I'm Dreamland's new monthly guest host. You can catch me here on the last Friday of every month. If you're interested in checking out my other work, you can find that on my podcast, The UFO Rabbit Hole. On that show, I share my own personal research with deep dives into everything from historical cases to philosophical frameworks, as well as in-depth interviews with top thinkers in the field, like Jeffrey Kripal, Diana Walsh-Pasulka, Bernardo Kastrup, James Madden, and of course, Dreamland's own Whitley Strieber. You can find the UFO Rabbit Hole on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for the UFO Rabbit Hole. And if you like what you hear and you want to go even further down the rabbit hole with me, I'd like to invite you to join my Patreon community. Patrons get perks like early access to new content and ad-free episodes. I host twice monthly patron-only Zoom calls where you can ask me questions, share your own thoughts, and connect with others. We also have a lively and active private Discord server where members host book clubs, happy hours, and just share their thoughts on all things anomalous without all the drama that's all too common on social media. It's a warm, open-minded, and vibrant community, and we'd love to have you join us. Memberships start at just $5 a month. You can sign up at patreon.com/UFO rabbit hole. That's patreon.com/UFO rabbit hole.
My new book, The Fourth Mind, is on sale on Amazon for Kindle and paperback right now. The audiobook and hardcover are to come later this month. But why is it called The Fourth Mind? Why is that? Let me explain. First, I go into detail about the bodies, brains, anatomy, genetics, and beliefs of our visitors. And as you will see, there is reason to believe that this is accurate and the first time ever that this has been discussed in any significant detail with any degree of real accurate finish. Then I show that they have abilities like telepathy and levitation, which we don't. Or do we? In the second part of the book, I show how we did have those powers, but lost them during a huge catastrophe 12,000 years ago. Was it some kind of bizarre war? A natural catastrophe? Whatever it was, it nearly destroyed humankind and left us in a state of shock that we suffer from to this day. I call the powers we lost the fourth mind and show how we can make a serious start at getting them back. Get the fourth mind. It's step one on our way to the stars. I want to make it. I want our children to make it. Mankind belongs as part of this cosmos, expressed into it like so many others across the reaches of the stars. Why not us? Of course we belong. The fourth mind. Get your copy today And as always, I stand ready to answer your questions on unknowncountry.com in the comments section, or send me an email at whitley@streber.com. I'm right here. I'm not a celebrity. I'm one of you. I'm just like you. Believe me. That's why I know we can all do this.
So let's talk about how we got here. So something that I really admire about you, Tom, so much is that it's just how honest and courageous you've been through this whole process. You know, you and I have been talking for a couple of years, and it took me a long time to catch up to the place where I had a deep sense, like in my soul, that you were telling the truth, but I had no way to like frame what was going on with you. And I admire how much you've just told the truth the whole time about what has happened to you and how you've experienced it. And so let's talk a little bit about how you came to have UpSight, because it's like not the most, it's a terribly interesting story, but it's like not the most convenient story if you're trying to convince people that like, you're not crazy, right?
No, in fact, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, I sit there and think, why did it have to happen this way? But it makes sense. The farther I get from it, the more it makes sense, because everything I knew had to come crashing down. So yeah, let me tell you a little bit about my backstory. As I said, I wrote a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Badness. The story is about my struggle with addiction going back a dozen years. Specifically, it's about this 1 year in my life, from almost for the entire year of 2012. Now, I had an advertising agency in Atlanta. I owned it for 20 years. I was in recovery, right? I would get 5 years sober, I'd pick up. I'd get 3 years sober, pick up. That's kind of the story. This time, and I had 5 years sober this time when I picked up. But this one, when I picked up, something was different, right? I had psychotic thoughts. I was literally almost instantly disconnected from reality. I thought my children were aliens. I thought my business was a front for another business empire. I thought government satellites were following me around. Now, not only just I think it, I believed it so much that I walked out on my business because I didn't think it was mine. I walked out on my family because I didn't think they were mine. I literally left everything running, successful family, everything. And I emptied my bank accounts and I flew around the globe spending my money in a psychotic haze. I ultimately ended up homeless, penniless, and I checked myself into a psychiatric treatment hospital because I'm like, and if you have any idea about addiction, people who are addicted to drugs, and cocaine was my drug of choice, so that's important. If you ever, you don't spend all your money, you always want to have some money for drugs. My executive function area of my brain wasn't working. It was not working. I was completely disconnected from reality. I would have a thought, I would read an article, or I'd listen to a song and I would think it was true. So much delusion. So check myself in, got clean and sober, and I've been in clean and sober 12 years now, right? So that's important to get, you know, it's funny, take out the drugs, you know, you kind of start settling down, your brain settles down. I'm back with my family. My children love me. They're grown men now. My business did not survive. A lot of things did not survive, but I built a new life and a normal life. Now, coming at the end of that 1 year, I'm sitting on the couch, right? And I'll tell you, this is the first four things. And I don't know if I ever talked to you about this, Kelly, too, because they're so obvious that not only what they were, but what they symbolize. The first four things I saw, I'm on the couch. And by the way, the first time I did it, I was on coke. But I knew, even when I was happening, I'm like, I don't have to be on drugs to do this. I just knew this instinct. It was the back of a dinosaur, blood cells moving through a body, a slot machine, and then the Grim Reaper, right? Those four things. And if you think about what those four holograms are, it's our life, right? It's past, life, certain history, life, survival, and then death. So there's like a cycle there. So those were the four. And I got clean and sober then. And I knew that this is really, really, really interesting, at least from my perspective. So I knew if anyone was going to take this serious, I had to be clean and sober, right? But also, this is where it crosses over into the non-human intelligence. During my wild year, I had experiences with non-human intelligence, right? And I wrote about them in my book. but I wrote about them in a ways that kind of minimized them. There were some wild things that happened. There were some ridiculous, embarrassing things that happened. I knew it needed to be in the book. I wanted to tell it, but I wanted to more emphasize the part that I thought traditional scientists could get wrapped their head around, which was the changes in my brain. I thought we'd get, a clinician, we'd figure out what was going on, and we could measure that. So I wrote about it in the book, but I didn't make it a big deal, right? The reason I'm saying this, Kelly, is because you and I both met in Dr. Daya Basulk's class 3 years ago, and one of the things she says is how people who experience non-human intelligence do self-reduction. That is exactly what I did and what I needed to do at a time. And I didn't even talk about that publicly until Avril Haines, the director of national security, is in the cathedral. I think it was the Catholic cathedral, November of 2021. And she said extraterrestrials. And I'm like, look, if our government is talking about it, and even though I was wasted for most of the year and these things did happen, I did build this big map of a galaxy in my room. So what if I was drunk most of the time? So what if I was high? I still did it, right? Maybe there's an element that really was dealing with non-human intelligence. And if you think about it, I mean, when we deal with animals, we get them high, we drug them up, right? We make them manageable. I know there could be an element there. Now, I was coerced. What's the word when somebody's taken out of their bed? I was abducted. I've never been abducted. I cannot say that. Could I have been coerced because of what they saw in my brain? Obviously. So we've got that. I left it at the beginning. I talked about my book. I launched it during COVID. I was going to be a mental health speaker because my background was in marketing and mental health. I was going to talk about recovery. COVID happened. We were going to study my brain, but all the stuff got put on hold. Eventually, I did have somebody, study how I can do this. But what was wild, I sat on for 6 years to talk about this non-human intelligence because I wasn't comfortable with it. So I completely understand what you're saying about being comfortable with it. And even now I'm not going to talk about this in some company. It's just that, there's no point. There's literally no point in talking to you about it. People don't take it serious. I'm fine. We don't have to. There's so many other cool things happening with Earth and consciousness that we don't have to talk about non-human intelligence at all.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it like developing realizing that upside was happening for you out of, this new ability that you had? And I'm sure that that was a hard thing to communicate to other people. Like, what was it like trying to tell people, especially early on and while you were still processing what was going on? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's been so long now. In the very beginning, I wrote blogs about it. And again, the sobriety thing, I was like, I have to be sober. I mean, nobody's going to take me serious again. And I want to be sober and my life is great sober. And I knew that I wanted to articulate it as simply as possible because it's so fantastical, right? And my wife says, it's really good when you compare it to things people know, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So even with all of that, it's been a challenge. And the biggest challenge, and it's still a surprise to me, is there's no historical record of anybody talking about seeing and interacting with holographic images. Now, I'll say that if somebody has one, send it to me, but I've done a ton of podcasts and I can't find any. And I even asked a Dr. Pasolka about it in our class. I'm like, she's got to know. She's done UFO religious studies. She said no. So that is so interesting to me, right? It still is to this day. So I feel like part of my mission is to bring this forward in a simple way for the skeptics. Well, they're going to be skeptics. You can't make a not, but the people that are having trouble understanding it. I feel like my challenge or my part of my mission is to bring it so people understand it. Now, what's really cool about this is that, what is it? It's January. Last January, I just started doing a lot of podcasts on this and I was looking for one person that had this, right? I've got over 1,000 emails. 1,000, almost probably 2,000 at this point.
That's
people
insane.
That have, yeah, but they have this one version of it or another. And I wrote the 8 stages of upside vision. I wrote this because people that say they have it, they really don't have it to this extent, but they're somewhere on this, what I'll call a spectrum. And again, this is my 8 stages, and I say them very clearly on this. It's not a scientific document, but it's the stages I had to go through and all the different ways I looked at it and the different pieces that made it accessible to me in one way or another. Now, there are a lot of people that have this, and that is validating as hell. And a lot of people have it and are afraid to embarrass to talk about it because, number one, their parents said, don't ever tell anyone you have this. Number two, they're coming out of drugs or addiction. Number three, they don't want to look like an idiot. Now, when I thought the thread was going to be addiction, some kind of neurological changes in the brain, some kind of chemical changes in the brain. When I first started talking about this, it's not. And then, you know, looking back now, maybe people are trauma is the threat. Not everyone, but 99 out of 100 people have had some kind of trauma to upregulate a gene in their brain to give them this ability to one degree or another. At least that's my experience so far.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense with regard to what we know about experiencers and how these things often manifest. That connection to trauma always seems to be there. There's one case that I found really interesting, if you are cool talking about it for a minute, of somebody who's also experiencing something that sounds very much like upsite. I was listening to Danny Jones, and he did an interview with Danny Goler, I believe. Am I getting that right? That's his name, yeah. Right? So Danny Goler is a guy who has been kind of doing the podcast circuits lately. He's made a discovery. He claims that if you smoke DMT and you shine a laser at a wall, like a diffracted laser, I believe, that if you look at it, you can basically see the matrix. Like you can see code running through the surfaces of things. And while doing DMT over a long period of time, his experience of DMT changed, and he doesn't have like the crazy visuals that everyone else has. But what he does have when he does DMT now sounds like, when he was describing it before he said your name, and he did say your name, I was like, this sounds like upside, man. I was like, oh,
yeah, right.
I was like, I bet. So you've gotten to talk to Danny. Like, can you talk a little bit about like what your conversations have been like and like how you are interpreting sort of what he's experiencing?
Yeah. Danny and I had a conversation, because we know, well, it feels like we don't know. It feels like these are definitely related, right? And one of the things I want to do is see if I can see this diffracted code without taking DMT. Right. Because that right there, that means something in my brain is going to see it. And then maybe I would have to, I don't know why, we haven't done it yet. But he also has this other thing that comes up to him. He talks about it. He calls it I don't remember what he calls it. It's kind of like this manifold that comes and shows him, kind of like with upside vision. So we both think that there's something here that is objective. I know mine is objective. We'll talk about the science at IONS in a minute, right? We know it's outside of us. Now, here's what I would like to do with Danny or some other, or a group of scientists or whatever. There's anecdotes, many, many anecdotes about group hallucinations, right? 5 guys tripping on mushrooms. They all see the machine elf, right? They're all high and they're all like, wow, while they're high, they're dealing with it. They come down and they're like, did that happen? Yeah, whatever. How do we prove it? That's not what they ask each other. They're like, that was amazing. Can you imagine if I was a control in that room, right? Sober as a church mouse, sitting there. We all see the machine elf. Now it's objective. Now we're all seeing that. Okay, now we're objectively seeing the same thing. The follow-up question is, are we getting the same message? Right? That's important. The message is just important as seeing this. Now, I have no idea. Would we all get the same thing? Would the machine elf say, this message is for you? I don't know. But if we could prove an objective observation, at least visually, then that changes the conversation. How do we recreate that? So again, the machine elf show up. Do we want the machine elves to show up? Right? So let's say the machine elf doesn't show up, but I manifest an elephant. Now these 7 guys are seeing an elephant while they're on DMT. And the guy in the end says, wow, can I turn the elephant into a mouse? Now the elephant changes into a mouse. Now we're talking about some kind of wave, right? A quantum wave, for lack of another word, that we can communicate with. And once we know we can do that, look, I know humanity, we're going to put tons of money into it. We're going to try to figure out how to do it. And then you can do it with somebody on the side of the planet. Well, that's actually where I kind of jumped to the other side of the galaxy. If you could do it there, maybe you could do it anywhere. And from my experience, obviously you can. It's non-local. It's both local and non-local. So we are talking about getting together and doing something. Just the question is when. And I was on Danny Jones too, and we talked about this same thing. That podcast hasn't come out yet. It'll be up in the next month or so. But I kind of ran through the same story there too, because I think that's a very easy to reproduce way. If it works, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's something else. I think I can communicate with somebody with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, right? Charles-Bonnet syndrome is a macular degeneration. Somebody's going blind and the brain starts hallucinating. That's what they call it, hallucinating, right? They start seeing things. These people are freaking out. They don't want to think they're going crazy. I think it's the brain screaming, saying, listen, wait a minute. Your traditional eyes are going blind, but there's another way we can see and communicate. I would love to test. If I was in a room with somebody with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, they are like, okay, I'm hallucinating, air quotes, a woman in a white dress or a woman in a dress. And can you see it? And yeah, I can see that. Now I'm going to change her to a man riding a bicycle. Now, this is the same physiological function. Well, it's not the same. It's just like the idea that our voices are creating sound and our ears are picking it up. There's a part of the brain where deep inside, wherever you want to call the pineal gland, that's actually, it's not. I feel it, by the way, it is from my eyes. I feel the muscles, but just that's important. I feel the muscles, you know, pushing out when I do this. So that's significant. And they get tired like any other muscle. Anyway, part of the eye brain that's transmitting and receiving. But until somebody takes serious, you know, tests won't be done. Studies won't be done.
Well, it seems like you've made tremendous progress over the last couple of years in terms of getting people to take this more seriously. Can you talk a little bit about what that road was like, how long it took for you to get to a place where you had some scientists who were willing to look at this, and then kind of the breakthrough that you had?
Yeah, I can. So imagine me, right? Again, 12 years ago, I'm emailing every scientist. Once I've got the clinicians aside, once I know they're like, this is the clinician answer. Yeah, you probably did a lot of drugs and your brain rewired and reconnected. So, you know, you're experiencing the world in a different way. Well, thank you. I know that, right? And there's no damage. What's most important is damage. Okay. So now I'm like, all right, let me email all the neuroscientists you can imagine. Anyone that ever wrote a book on the brain and neuroscientists, I sent an email. I would dive deeper. There's a guy that studied the flights of birds and their magnetic, the cones in their eye so they could see the rum lines of the earth and how they fly. I emailed so many scientists saying, listen, my vision is extraordinary. The way I see the world is changed. I want to get in a lab and I can prove it. I could do this in a lab all day long. I don't have to wait for a feeling. I can just do this. Finally. Actually, wait, there was a woman at the Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute that was interested, but COVID happened and that got kicked aside. And for that, I was going to get in an MRI. And I can do this in an MRI. So the second MRI I had, it's important because it's like, wait a minute, I didn't think it was going to happen because I thought it was a magnetic field. And I thought the giant magnets would interfere with my brain, you know, doing whatever magnetic field I have to do this, and it wouldn't work. It did work. So that's kind of important for, you know, future studies. So that fell apart. Finally, Dean Radin gets back to me, right? Everyone knows Dean Radin at the Ions Institute. He's a psi researcher way back, the OG, for lack of another word. And he says, well, this is interesting. I'm not sure this is the kind of thing, you know, we're going to study. And I got back up and said, here's if I do this, this, and this. I gave him some of the talking points. He finally says, listen, let me present this to the science team and we'll get back to you. So they presented the science team and Garrett Yao got back to me. And he's like, okay, we're interested. What should we study? It's like, because there's a lot of things we could do, right? What's the first study to make sure there's something there? And this is what him and their team came up with. And this is, we're going to get, by the way, there's a scientific paper, a peer review paper coming out literally any day about my brain state hooked up to an EEG machine, my brain state doing memory recall, like I said earlier, when we started cover, just a traditional memory recall, and when I'm literally seeing these images in front of me. Now, we did 200 randomized testing, right? 200 images would come up. I didn't know what it was going to be. I would think about it in my mind's eye, and then I would see it with upside vision. So that was the test. And they were going to see, okay, what of the brain states, alpha, gamma, beta, theta, what of the brain states are showing differences between when he's using upside and when he's doing memory recall, or if there were in fact any. It was across all brain states. There was a difference across all of them. The biggest or the most obvious was, which was to me was the most biggest surprise, was the alpha brain state. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but it was. The alpha brain state is when we're relaxed. It's kind of default mode network, right? You're just chill. There's no, when my alpha brain state, when I'm doing upside, it's like it's, there's a lot of work. Even though there's nothing in front of me, there's a lot of work and I'm actually seeing something. And there, the paper talks about it's the prefrontal left prefrontal area. I don't want to pretend I can get into the science of it, about what area is being repressed. And the theta state, now that one I thought was going to show a big difference because that's the dream state and that's where mediums are like kind of active. So that showed a big exchange, a big lights on, a big difference between that and memory recall. So now there is a ground, there is a entry level, finally, or I don't know, the first paper ever about upside vision. And this is great to start with, right? To show that there's something else. What the next one's going to be, two people in the same room doing it, communicating, right? I still, again, I'll go back to this. I think if somebody else had upside vision like I do, I literally think we could communicate without a doubt. Somebody could come in this room with me if they have upside vision to the ability I do, and we could communicate non-verbally. I absolutely do think that's the case. I need to find that person. I say there's 1,000, all of them don't have it to this ability, and I haven't tested any of them yet. So I don't know.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
My new book, The Fourth Mind, is on sale on Amazon for Kindle and paperback right now. The audiobook and hardcover are to come later this month. But why is it called The Fourth Mind? Why is that? Let me explain. First, I go into detail about the bodies, brains, anatomy, genetics, and beliefs of our visitors. And as you will see, there is reason to believe that this is accurate and the first time ever that this has been discussed in any significant detail with any degree of real accurate finish. Then I show that they have abilities like telepathy and levitation, which we don't. Or do we? In the second part of the book, I show how we did have those powers, but lost them during a huge catastrophe 12,000 years ago. Was it some kind of bizarre war? A natural catastrophe? Whatever it was, it nearly destroyed humankind and left us in a state of shock that we suffer from to this day. I call the powers we lost the fourth mind, and show how we can make a serious start at getting them back. Get the fourth mind. It's step one on our way to the stars. I want to make it. I want our children to make it. Mankind belongs as part of this cosmos, expressed into it like so many others, across the reaches of the stars. Why not us? Of course we belong. The fourth mind. Get your copy today. And as always, I stand ready to answer your questions on unknowncountry.com in the comments section, or send me an email at whitley@streber.com. I'm right here. I'm not a celebrity. I'm one of you. I'm just like you. Believe me. That's why I know we can all do this.
Where is the unknown country? Is it out there in the stars?
Or is it also somewhere else? Is it in us, in you? Unknown country, join us today. Go to unknowncountry.com right now and join us. Join the questions. Join the search. Join the adventure. Unknowncountry.com. There's no place like it in the world.
Do you think you'll wait to do that in a lab, or do you think are you making plans to meet up with people and see how that goes?
Yeah. So by the way, you can't do this with somebody with upside. And so I've tried it with my wife and she's like, Tom, I don't want to play this game anymore. Never works, right? It never works. I've driven to people in Alabama. I had a guy with some kind of telepathic abilities. So I would, of course, I'm not going to wait for a lab. Are you kidding me? These guys are so slow. My God, forget it. Academics are like snails. I can't even imagine how slow they are. If there's somebody said, I have this ability, I could give them a test. I'm not just going to meet anyone. And I think we can communicate. And even somebody with autism, with the telepathy tapes, I've actually started, and I would never have thought about this 2-3 months ago, but I'm like, wait a minute, maybe one of these individuals and their parents, we could do it. Maybe there's something there to be explored. And these are so easy to do, right? You go to someone's house, you set it up, you can do it in the kitchen. This is not, you don't have to have these perfect conditions to do this. It's either going to work or it's not. Now I say that, that's what I think. Maybe they do need to be perfect conditions. And I don't know, but at least it's easy to try without any scientific, observation, whatever. Just two people doing it.
Yeah. The thing that for me was so incredible is that, you and I have been talking about this and we had been working on a story for the UFO rabbit hole for a long time. And it felt like at the time I was like, gosh, how are we even going to tell this story? Because there wasn't much else to compare it to. But I do think that the telepathy tapes is, to me, I felt with that coming out and gaining such traction that it became easier to talk about this stuff because the kids, the non-speakers that they are working with in the telepathy tapes, it seems like they also have access to some kind of they're not just telepathic. They have access to like a non-physical realm where they're
a field. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And which sounds like, very much like something that you're accessing. What are your thoughts on, because I find this remarkable that all of this seems to be coming to be happening, but not just happening, because maybe it's been happening for a long time, but that it's coming into the public consciousness right now. What do you think is going on with all of this? Like, what do you make of it?
I'll tell you. So as I said earlier, how it's helpful, I think this is an evolutionary step of some kind, right? I think we are evolving into this to help mankind for whatever is coming. Right? I know it's helped me. I feel like that's happening. And obviously, if there's a communication element, it's so we can communicate in a way we haven't communicated before. I mean, when language was discovered, from what I understand, it spread through it spread very, very quickly. I think this is going to be the same thing. There's going to be this tipping point and it's all going to suddenly be, spread through the population. And I say, maybe not everybody at first, but if you can dream, right? I think it's the same part of the brain. If you can dream, because you're not in control, but you still see things, you can do this eventually. So I think there's an evolutionary, and so which means it's for survival, which the sad side is that means there's something scary coming, whether it's a climate change that we need this or whatever, but that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. And it does feel like that. That is intuition, right? I have no proof or evidence on that. And again, it has picked up. Let me be clear. I've done this for 12 years. Even at the end of this year, like you said, the telepathy tapes, it's absolutely picked up. And Jake Barber, is that the guy's name that just came out?
Yes. Yeah.
I just watched. This is interesting because this is fresh on my mind. This is the first I've talked about this to anyone. He says there are they recruit these psionic kids or people in another country to do this, right? To help. Now, first of all, that's like, wait a minute. If they're doing that, why don't they do it here? That seems sketch as heck, right? He says it's all good. It's like, oh, they want to be a part of it. I'm like, well, why don't we do it in America?
Yeah.
Right? But the fact that they're doing something like this, that there's something else going on that people know about, and if it's fact true, and I never trust anything these guys say, because you have to take everything with a grain of salt, because there's one side and another, but it's certainly been controlled. Obviously, somebody knows something that's going on. You know, there's other people. And again, look, this has been talked about for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's been suppressed. The question is, why, what's the payoff of it not being suppressed anymore? That's really the question.
Yes, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It seems as though, you know, just even the fact that this is being spoken about by the government at all seems as though there must be something coming, or they at least have, they're mitigating the risk of something that they think might happen at the very least, because otherwise they wouldn't be talking about it. Like, they don't, you know, in the military, if you talk to like a military guy, they'll tell you, you know, one of the main kind of, one of the main things they say in the military is never get into a fair fight. Like, you don't want to do something if you don't know the outcome. And so if they're letting this come out, there's a reason for it. I know you can't tell the future, but do you have a sense? Because I know in the experiencer community and the channeling community and all of these various communities, there is this kind of feeling that there is something coming. Do you have a sense about what that is? Or like, have you seen anything in Upsight that's made you?
What I'll say. No. Okay. So here's what I'll say. Because if our government is dealing with some non-human intelligence and is communicating with them, and they supposedly know what's going on, Upside is telling me they're being played. It's as simple as that. So you're like, wait a minute, you know, because it's the same way somebody, it looks at another, some technology that's so far beyond our understanding, and we're so in awe of it that we believe everything they're saying. So I think, number one, that's happening. Number two, how do you get past that? And the answer is this: you don't get to the technology. You don't believe this non-human intelligence about their technology. You learn how to do it yourself, right? Right now, we're using AI and trying to get to this place. That's one thing, and that's going to be good. The real, real gigantic step is us accessing this Akashic record in the newosphere. That's where the leaps are coming from. That is what we need to do. We don't need to trust a non-human intelligence, right? We do not need to trust them. We need to access this place ourselves, our human selves, and figure this out on our own. That was like a science fiction film, but whatever. Not to say we can't have allies, but, you know, teach a man to fish all his life. You know, you give him fish, whatever. We need to find the place and get the answers ourselves. Whoever the deal that's made doesn't seem, it's going to benefit the few at the expense of the many, but it's actually going to screw the few. That's the future. They think gave me the bill, it's going to bite them in the ass, and it's not good. That's all I can say about it, because that's all I know. And I don't even know if I know that true. I just know that keeps coming back. And by the way, the stuff that keeps coming back, this precog element, the stuff that keeps coming back again and again tends to be true. Right, the stuff that goes and is fleeting, no. But if it comes back again and again, it seems to like it's going to be true. And you know, you and I, we've seen that same thing. You know, from a quantum level. I don't even want to get into that now. The candy canes on the DNA, but that's the answer to your question. I don't know what it is, but I don't believe that what we have planned is going to happen. I think we're going to be. I feel like we're being played for some reason.
Yeah, it seems very murky, right? Like, everyone has a sense that something's coming, but there's zero consensus really on what that is. You have, speaking of, you know, that this is, and this is actually something I've heard from many, many experiencers from all kind of different modalities, this idea that like we all as humanity have the ability, have psi abilities far beyond what we recognize, and that it's essential that at this moment, for whatever reason, that we develop those abilities. You have created, I believe it's the 8 steps of Upsight. Is that correct? And to try to help people tap into that themselves, can you talk about like that process and how you developed that, and if it's, has it worked for anyone yet?
So, all right. So here's the number one thing. I don't teach people how to do upside because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like I'm an expert in it. Right. And not only that, I don't think everyone wants to do this. If you sit there and turn off, look to the side, you see a holographic images of a baby, or anything dead and gross and scary. I don't want, you know what I mean? I don't want to say, go ahead and do that. I don't want to say, because everything isn't beautiful in this space. It's horrible. And any horrible thing one human being can do to another, you can see in this space, and it's not okay. Sometimes it's like disgusting. The flip side is any beautiful thing you can do, you can see in the space. So that said, the one thing I will say is this, if you to know, and by the way, the 8 stages are the stages I went through, right? It's not teaching at all. It's just the stages I went through, but I think it could be helpful to you, especially if you already think you have it to some degree. But if you don't and you want to know one thing, here's what I can confidently say. That might work to see if you have it. And to be clear, I think it's like singing, right? Maybe everybody can sing, but everybody can't be Celine Dion or Frank Sinatra, right? I think it's like running. Everybody can run, but very few people can run a 4-minute mile. This is like that, I think. Okay, so if you want to see if you have this, get in a hypnagogic state, which is kind of sit on a couch, meditate, or right before you go to sleep, that waking dream state that everyone gets in right before their head falls back and they get in that state. If you're sitting there and you're literally with your eyes shut, do it with your eyes shut, and you see manifest, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, just an image of some, think of the image. If it shows up, right? If you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing a silhouette or this outline of this thing, but all you need to do, first of all, that's a huge win. That's huge. That's like this a step. The second one is if you can sit there and say, that's an elephant, right? And then you're like, change it to a bat. If you can change it to a bat with a thought, who knows what the next steps are, right? You've proven you can manifest it, and you can prove you can change it with a thought. That's the tips I can give you. And the rest is up to you, because you can do it. You know, listen, if you're obsessed with it and you can get, when in the beginning, I would sit for hours and hours and hours and do this because I wanted to share with everyone. Actually, at first I was like, God, I want to be the only one to have this. And I'm like, no, that sucks. You don't want to be the only one that has this. That's not cool. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that must be isolating in some ways, especially enough period of time. What do you hope happens next? Like, where do you hope this goes? What do you hope that listeners take away from this conversation? Like, how do you hope that Upsite contributes to the overall conversation that's happening right now?
Hope, and that we are connected to something more than we know, and that something more is good, okay? It is ultimately good and here for us. You could sit there and use loving kindness. You could sit there anything you want to do, but it is a positive thing. Even though you see things that are not positive, this ability and what it is meaning to is positive, because we're connected to each other and something more, right? That's the thing, the message of hope. And maybe that doesn't sound like it, but that really is it. And a communication element too. And the intelligence. A survival, right? All those things. Let me tell you one story too, real quick, about somebody that had this. This woman wrote this was a Reddit post she wrote 5 years ago, but she put it on my Facebook page just the last 6 months. She was talking about a time when she was a kid. She was like 11 or 12. She was sitting on a bed with her girlfriend. They had a sleepover. And she said to her, this is kind of the story. She goes, do you ever get those things where you can see things floating in front of you, right? These images. And her friend said, like, you mean like the two fish that we see now, that I see now? She goes, what? You see that? Right? So these two 11-year-old girls saw these two fish floating in front of them. And they're like, wow, this is incredible. They talked about it. Great. That's the story of the night. The one girl moved away, right? They moved away. They lost touch. The other girl, as she got older, she lost the ability in her 20s. Right. And they moved away. The reason this is interesting is she reached out to this person after they lost touch for 20 years. They found Facebook like people did a while back. And she asked if she remembered the story. And she did. The point of that is maybe we even have it stronger as children, but we just dismiss it. That's something to really think about. And that obviously from all the stories and things you hear about, anything makes complete sense. You know, nurturing an ability in children.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
So what was your question, though? Because I didn't answer your question.
Oh, no, I think you did, about kind of where you're hoping this goes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, definitely hope. I don't know. I just, there's so much crap, you know, the climate change, the all the stuff that's going on, so many negative stories, but everything is negative about our attention. And I just feel like there's no future if everything is like Debbie Downer and dark and gloomy. I'm talking not just the United States, I'm talking the whole planet. And I think there's so much more here that we should be accessing. And we should, you know, if you're new age, you know, Aquarius, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but.
Yeah, I mean, things can definitely seem a little bleak right now, but I feel very hopeful as well. I think that, you know, there's so many impossible and really positive things happening all the time. And I see it in this work constantly. And I see people, you know, waking up and the stigma slowly being chipped away at. And, you know, when impossible things can happen, then like fatalism suddenly becomes pointless, right? It becomes a lie. It becomes ultimately just a choice. Like, because it seems like things can get better and that things, that there is something helping us. That's definitely the sense that I get.
Yeah. And actually, there's one other thing to answer that question, because it's a big piece of it. I don't think AI, the technology in AI is the thing. I do think the AI is over here with the technology. And what I'm talking about is over here. I'm talking about the environmental and the organic, the non-human, the spiritual realm, not just spiritual, but the hidden biosphere realm. I think there's something there that is better for humans. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a Luddite. I mean, technology is important, but I just think there's so much more intelligence and creativity there that will benefit mankind as much as the AI side of it, the traditional technology AI. And it will be able to answer questions that AI can't possibly answer. We will be able to answer questions, which is not the way people are thinking right now. But that's definitely the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, that resonates for me. So we are coming up to the end of the public first hour of this show. We're getting ready to say goodbye. And if you would like to listen to the last 30 minutes of this show, where I'm going to get even deeper into the deep end with Tom, you can become a member at unknowncountry.com. And that last half hour will be available there. Tom, before we sign off with some of our audience right now, can you tell people where they can find you, how they can reach out to you, all of that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Tom Matt Upside Vision. The book Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness. It is about my year journey, my wild ride. It's a hell of a ride. It's not learning how to do upside. I want to be very clear about that. But I will say this, a message of hope. If you have somebody with an addiction issue, they can get out of it no matter how far down they are, right? Really, really important, because people are like, Tom's never coming back. Tom's never coming back. Guess what? I came back. And believe me, I was, like I said, psych ward, all the things, homeless, unbelievable stuff. But you can come back from it. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. If you want to read that story, you can definitely check that out. And you can find me at tom-matt.com. You can find my website and see other podcasts I've done. And you can also download the 8 Stages of Upside Vision on that website.
Amazing. And I'll do my best to have that all linked up in the episode description so people can find it. And so we will say goodbye to everyone and then move on to the last part of the show.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Dreamland is brought to you by Unknown Country and its family of subscribers. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our site coordinator is Amy Safrankova. The founder of unknowncountry.com is Anne Streber. I'm Whitley Streber, your host for Dreamland.